This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at The Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, moving away from football to the weekend in baseball. Yes, there was baseball to discuss. I was at Cubs convention. Jesse Rogers was at Cubs convention. It started with Tom Ricketts being booed on Friday when he came out and addressed the capacity crowd. And here's the boos that ensued.
What our promise for the next 10 years is to continue to have the best relationship with our fans of any sport in the world, any professional sports team in the world. And that starts with the Marquee Network. The Marquee Network. What do you have against the Marquee Network? Believe me, you won't be booing about that in a year. You guys won't, you won't be booing about the Marquee Network in 1 year.
So that was how things started over the weekend. Do you think people were booing Tom because they haven't spent any money? Do you think people were booing because they don't want to pay extra money for a new channel that they're not, you know, convinced is going to be on every cable station or cable system? Combination?
Could it be because you're not doing the pre and the post? That's why I was booing from my seat right here.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you. But I'm very happy where I'm at.
I think it was a combination. I think it's the lack of finances spent this offseason. It is also part and parcel with the launching of a new network and people not exactly understanding that their cable bill probably won't change dramatically from what it looked like a year ago.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
I felt bad for Tom when
you
that
won't
one.
Be booing about that in a year.
Think about this. This is the owner that brought in arguably the greatest executive in pro sports, or one of the, has completely renovated Wrigley Field and has, on his watch, ended a 108-year World Series drought. And he's getting booed just a handful of years later. I mean, that is, wow, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And he's spent the second most money in Major League Baseball last year, and he's being called cheap. I just don't get it. I really, really don't. I don't get that. They haven't spent the money wisely. They haven't developed pitching within their system.
That's just a fact.
And time and again, people just take shots at Tom Ricketts. I don't get that. I really don't. Do you?
I don't.
I think it stems back to when they cried poor the year that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were free agents, and all Cub fans, and we spent a lot of time on this show saying, which do you want, Machado or Harper? Which right. do you want? And we were so excited for the possibility we'd get one of them, and then Tom Ricketts cried poor. And it's hard for Cub fans to look at Wrigleyville and the renovations made and the amount of income that Tom Ricketts makes just off that neighborhood and hear him say, well, we don't have money to get the pieces that you all want. And I know they spent a lot of money. I'm not ignorant to that fact. It was just a tough pill to swallow. And I think the boos stem from that. Because here you are mentioning the Marquee Network at Cubs convention, which is going to cost fans more, even if it's not that noticeable on the bill. So the fans are paying more to watch the product, yet they're not putting in more to make the team better this year.
Yeah, the one thing I would say to you, though, Danny, is, yeah, the front office has not done a good job post-16. Yes, the ownership does not want to dip into the luxury tax. They want to reset. But we're also missing the point that the manager did not hold guys accountable. And you have fans who are sitting there going, okay, I have Xfinity. What if it's not on there? I have Dish. Now you want me to change and, you know, turn my life upside down and get everything refixed up. And all of a sudden, it's not there.
Look, as far as the Marquee Network getting a deal done with Xfinity, It's going to go down to the wire, and it's probably going to go down to right before opening day. You're probably not going to see them when they flip the switch on in February. And I think Xfinity needs the marquee network. Marquee needs Xfinity. A deal will get done. It's just going to go down to the very end.
All right. Let's go to Jesse Rogers. He joins us now. He was there all weekend. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning, Pat and Cap. What's happening, guys?
Everything is good, Jesse. I saw you over the weekend. Tom Ricketts got booed. I don't know what you have against
the Marquee Network.
But what was your takeaway from the weekend?
Oh, I got a kick out of him getting booed, specifically when he mentions the Marquee Network. Craig Kenny said something interesting on Saturday at his panel discussion, and it rings true. People don't like change. And he reminded everybody that people booed the video boards. Now we can't live without them, right? They booed other things that seem like huge changes, and now we accept them at Wrigley Field. And here's another one. I don't know what the cost necessarily is going to be for people. And assuming they get the Comcast thing done, I mean, look, 150 games are going to be on one station. People have to like that. They have an incredible analysis crew, pregame, postgame, obviously in-game crew. I don't see why you would necessarily boo Marquee Network. Remember originally when Sinclair announced this deal, everyone thought Sinclair was going to be some propaganda political arm. That doesn't seem to be the case either. So I think people just boo at times. Now, the funny part is I would have thought they would have maybe booed Ricketts when he walked out, because it is two off seasons of not spending additionally. I know what you're saying, Pat. No doubt, high payroll these last couple years. But, you know, it's what have you done for me lately, like right. You said, and two off seasons in a row. So he doesn't get booed when he gets announced. He gets booed when he announces Marquee. Kind of strange, but it is kind of what happens when change occurs.
I will tell you, I saw Rizzo. I had a nice chance to talk to him and his wife, Emily. Rizzo looks like he's lost 25 pounds at least. He looks amazing.
Yeah, you know, he does this every offseason. It's not just this offseason. He has done this the last few years where he comes in really good shape. Now, he's got to keep that off. As he gets older, it's going to be tougher, and he's got to do it for 6-7 months here as he starts the season. He usually gets off to bad starts in April. But he's looked in shape, in my opinion, the last few spring trainings. So this is not just a recent thing. But he does look in good shape. And, you know, it's good to go around the room and talk to a lot of the guys. You know, the big topic, obviously, Chris Bryant getting the flu, was there for opening ceremonies, did nothing else all weekend, and now is back in Vegas. So kind of strange. That's the guy everybody wants to hear from. But I don't think there's any conspiracy. He was sick. This is not a guy that has a history of avoiding the media or certainly the fans, and he wasn't able to do anything else except for opening ceremony. So we'll have to wait to hear from Chris Bryant. Obviously, everyone else talked about him. I still think he potentially could be traded, no matter what you heard from Ross or Theo. That's just talk. What else are they going to say? I still think there's a deal to be had, and they need to get under that tax. It's not a sure thing, guys. It's just their plan A. If that doesn't work over the next couple of weeks, they'll probably move on to some other movements. But it is going to be a late offseason for the Cubs. Between now and spring training, I highly, highly doubt we're going to see the same guys we saw at the convention over the weekend. There's going to be some movement. If there isn't, then they really weren't able to follow through on the plans A, B, or C that they came up with as the offseason began. So this is far from an offseason that's over. And Chris Bryant still is on the block, in my opinion.
Jesse, was there a lot of talk about the sign-stealing saga in Houston and how widespread it could be in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, certainly talking to you, Darvish, and some other pitchers especially. I mean, those are the guys that had strong opinions about it, even Kyle Hendricks. You know, Hendricks is a guy that's going to go down the middle on this thing. Like, he's not happy it happened. But you just got to deal with it, is what his response was. Yu Darvish, different situation, coming from what happened with the Dodgers and the Astros in the World Series. And he asked the question, and, you know, I wrote it, we all wrote it, you know, he now wonders, was I tipping or were they stealing? Was I tipping my pitches or were they stealing the signs? And it's obviously they were stealing some signs. Were they doing it in Game 7 while they were at Dodger Stadium? Who knows? Even if they weren't doing it illegally, they probably were doing it to a higher extent than anyone else, you know, with a more elaborate scheme behind it. So, yeah, there was a lot of talk, and there was talk about other teams. I think people in baseball believe there were a handful of other teams that have been doing it. I think the Red Sox obviously are among the teams that we already know. And if they can eliminate those handful of other teams doing it, then it won't slide the other way. And I think that's the deal here with the commissioner coming down on these guys. Like, if five or six teams were doing it in the last couple of years, well, next year it might be seven or eight or nine if they don't stop. You know, the trend was going in the wrong direction. So now they hope to stop that trend and reverse it and put everybody on a level playing field. And that's the main thing Hendricks said. I want to be on a level playing field.
All right, so the Chris Bryant grievance may get settled by 2046. He'll be 50 years old, and we'll finally know if they screwed him or not. But eventually this is going to get fixed. Do you feel like, okay, they announce it at 10:12 this morning in 1 minute. Bam, got it. Chris has 2 years left. Chris has 1 year, whatever it is. And at 10:22, the Atlanta Braves, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the whoever's go, yeah, we'd just like to announce we acquired Chris Bryant. Like, there's these deals sitting there, or is that factually inaccurate?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I don't know if it would be completely done, because as soon as they get the announcement, it changes what the deal would be. But I've even said that they could set up deals either way. One deal if it's 1 year, one deal if it's 2 years. Let's just say it will move quickly, I think, after that. It will move quickly, whether it's 1 minute later or 1 day later. I think it will move quickly. And I will tell you some news on that end. As you know, I've been reporting all offseason, it keeps delaying. As of Friday, I was told two more weeks as of Friday. So we're looking at basically a February 1st decision date. Yeah, I've never been given a great reason other than for the delays, other than it's a very complex and complicated case. I don't quite get why it's even that complicated and complex. We all know what the evidence is. We all know, you know, maybe we don't all know, but I feel like I know what the evidence is. I lived through it in 15. Mike Oat was up, and then Mike Oat got hurt, and they brought him up on the very day that he could come up and have that extra year. It's kind of straightforward. But obviously, there's a lot more underneath the surface. So, 2 more weeks, I was told. And yes, Cap, I think it will move quickly after that. It has to. It has to. Otherwise, the Cubs have really, really not done anything they set out to do this whole offseason.
Cap will have 10 more tattoos by the time this thing is settled.
All right, Jesse, have a great day.
All right, guys.
See you soon.
See ya. There's Jesse Rogers. All right. Shot, no shot is coming up next, and we'll get to more of your calls. We got to talk about Patrick Kane a little later. Milestone for Kaner. We'll get to all of that coming up on Chicago's Home for Sports. It's Cap and Company, ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back into the First Midwest Bank studio with Pat Boyle. I'm David Kaplan. Danny Zetterman, our executive producer. Chris Black is at the controls. And follow us on Instagram at Cap and Co. We'd love to have you at our station page, ESPN _ Chicago. Let's go to shot, no shot, Danny.
That's why I say
shot, no shot, with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say man, my shot.
Shot, no shot, brought to you by Lou Malnati, 62 locations and counting. Their latest is in Fox Point, Wisconsin, so you cheeseheads can drown your Packer sorrow in awesome pizza. Go to LouMalnati's.com to order online or find a location near you. And Northwestern football and basketball there. Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets always available at NUSports.com. Go Cats. Danny.
Gentlemen, this will be the second Super Bowl ever between a team that led its conference in rushing yards, the 49ers, and the one that led its conference in passing yards, the Chiefs. Since this is a copycat league, shot or no shot, the best thing for the Chicago Bears would be if the 49ers win the Super Bowl with their run-first offense.
I think we put too much credence in, oh boy, Matt sitting at home with a bowl of chips and making notes going, I got to do what they do. Matt is going to be who Matt is going to be. And if he's going to run the football more, it's going to be because Matt has the conviction to run the football more and the talent to get that done. So I don't think it really matters.
I disagree. I think it would be good for the Bears. This team needs an identity. We still don't know what the identity is of the Chicago Bears. And I was tired of going each and every Monday on this program saying, oh, well, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll self-scout. They'll change things in the offseason. There was nothing done in season. The one thing you can say about the San Francisco 49ers is they have an identity. You know what they have. Mm-hmm. They don't have, I would say, you know, an elite quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, no
but
doubt.
He's not a top five or six quarterback in the league.
Agreed.
And they're able to, they've built on the lines. They've got an amazing offensive line and a tremendous defensive front. So there is something that the Bears can take from that. But they have an identity. And right now, the Matt Nagy-led Bears don't have an identity. So I think they could learn something from the
49ers. Yeah, I'm not saying they could learn. I just don't think what happens in the Super Bowl is going to have any bearing on Matt. He's already gotten all the anecdotal evidence he needs. He's seen it. One more game doesn't change it for me.
Well, I disagree. Kyle Shanahan learned in the Super Bowl that, you know, when you have a lead, you need to run the football. Maybe that harsh lesson that he received against the New England Patriots is part of the reason why he's the play caller that he is now. I've seen him adapt. I haven't seen Matt adapt the way I hoped he would.
There you go. Danny.
Patrick Mahomes is on the verge of becoming the second youngest starting quarterback to win the Super Bowl. With his MVP in tow, Mahomes would become the first player in the NFL history with an MVP and a championship before turning 25 years old. Shot or no shot, one day Patrick Mahomes will be considered the greatest quarterback of all time.
I mean, that's a huge statement, man. We've had some amazing, amazing players going, you know, old-time Johnny Unitas to Tom Brady, who's played in 9 Super Bowls. So, yeah, I'm going to say no shot because you add up Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. They've played in 2 combined. Brady's played in 9. The Chiefs haven't gone to a Super Bowl in 50 years till right now. So to say Patrick Mahomes is going to be the greatest player of all time, no shot.
Oh, I got to say shot. I mean, we're already, the question's already being posed 2 years into his playing career in the NFL. He's achieved more than Tom Brady has at his second year in the league. His postseason numbers are off the chart. 8 touchdown passes, no interceptions, 1 rushing TD. He is, in a way, indefensible. You watch him back there, it's like watching Muhammad Ali shuffle in the ring like he's got all day, picking apart a zone, finding Kelsey, finding whoever it is. And then he turns in right before the half, the 27-yard run down the sidelines, which was amazing, and it changed the game. To me, it wasn't the greatest run of Patrick Mahomes' young career.
No, it was
bad. I mean, it was
tackling.
Bad tackling by Tennessee more than anything else at the 5-yard line. But that being said, yeah, I absolutely think he could be at some point considered the greatest quarterback in NFL history. We're already talking about it 2 years in.
And besides his athletic ability on the field, he's a smart player. He knows when to throw the ball away. You see him calling audibles at the line. He clearly mentally is as sharp as he is physically. I'm with PB on this one. Moving on, sticking with quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers says the Packers window is still open. Shot or no shot, he's right.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. They have one impactful offensive talent drafted since 2014. His name's Davante Adams. Really good player. Really good. Aaron's getting older. He's going to be 37. So, yeah, no. I'm going to say no shot. Their window is not wide open. Could they possibly get there next year? Maybe. But I would say their window is closing. They don't have a guy like waiting like Aaron was for Brett Favre. They don't have a second receiver. It's not Jay Sternberger or Geronimo Allison. Jimmy Graham's toward the end of his time. Their offensive line is getting older. Yeah, no shot.
Man, some things are so predictable on this show.
Yep.
You taking that damn stance right. is certainly in there. Yeah, you didn't like the Packers at the beginning of the year. They went on to represent the
NFC
North.
Well, you make it sound like I'm alone on that. I listened to Get Up this morning, and all those guys said, never thought they were a very good team anyway.
A lot of people thought they were a year ahead. They got too far, and that next year will be their year. Look, Aaron Rodgers still has something left in the tank.
Yeah, I haven't heard one noted analyst say that their window is next year.
Oh, we better call your buddy Dan Orlovsky. What does he think about it? We'll find out his take on it.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Aaron Rodgers last week was dropping dimes left and right. And yesterday, I thought he was making some business decisions. I thought he checked out of that game mentally. I thought he looked defeated. The fact that he didn't go for the fumbled snap and his ball security on the strip sack was not good. So I get that. People can take shots at him for that. Look at his demeanor. Look at his body language. It looked like a guy. It looked like Jay Cutler. I mean, He looked checked out. That being said, I still think he's got plenty left in the tank, and he's still the best quarterback the NFC North. Well, you said their window is closed or whatever.
No,
I
did not say
I think
closed.
It's just opening. It's a new coaching staff. They spent money on defense, but we saw clearly yesterday they couldn't stop a nose. They couldn't stop anything running wise.
That's why I said I didn't say their window's closed. I said maybe next year, maybe one more year. Their defense is not all that. Their offensive line is getting older. Their quarterback's going to be 37. Yeah. And they got one impactful offensive player they've drafted since 2014.
All right. You started the show by saying you want Tom Brady. You don't move anything you can to make it happen.
I said
who would you rather have next year? Aaron Rodgers at 37 going on 38 or Tom Brady at 42?
Tom Brady. Absolutely.
43.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
I take Aaron Rodgers
100% over. You guys, 100 times out of 100
you
times.
You got your blinders on over there.
Okay, I'm going to ask Dan Orlovsky, who breaks down all the tape.
Oh, okay.
We'll see what he says. I'll ask him, a guy who knows more football than you and I combined will know, and play in the league. But I would bet you most people would
career
say
backup.
Tom Brady.
Make it a poll.
Who cares
poll
if he's it. A career backup?
I know. I mean, you just think everything Dan Orlovsky. Lewis Riddick said it was Maserati Mitch.
Settle
now he's
down.
Off the.
Settle
now he's
down,
off.
Kid.
No, I'm just
settle
pointing
down.
Out fact to
settle
you.
Down.
I'm pointing out a fact.
Yeah, settle down.
Just because
settle
one
down.
Talking head says something one day and then they flip the other day.
Could you not swear on the air,
right,
please?
Sorry.
And just dial it freaking down.
Well,
jeez.
I mean, I can only handle so much.
Make it a poll, and now let's move on to a different topic.
Yeah, let's go.
Patrick Kane reached 1,000 points when he picked up an assist on Brandon Saad's third-period goal as Pat's Blackhawks beat the Jets 5-2 last night for their season-high fifth straight win. Kane became the 90th player in NHL history to reach that milestone. Shot or no shot, when he finally decides to hang up the skates, Kaner will be considered the greatest Blackhawk of all time.
Probably, I'd say shot. I mean, Stan Mikita was an amazing player. Bobby Hull left, so I could never give him that honor. You know, a lot of his prime, he played for the Winnipeg Jets. In the A, what was it? The WHA?
WHL.
WHL. So I'm going to say right now it's Stan Mikita. Shot that Kaner goes down as the greatest.
Yeah, I never really saw Stan Mikita play, so I can't attest to. I mean, I know his numbers. I know what a legendary player he was. To me, we're talking about generational players. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes on this show. And as we were Bears fans yesterday watching what he was doing, we have a generational player in this town. His name's Patrick Kane. He came here 13 years ago. He won a Rookie of the Year title. He's won an MVP. He has won 3 championships. And he continues to do things at the highest of levels at only 31 years of age. 9th U.S.-born player to reach 1,000. 7th active player to do it. This league's been around for 100 years. He's only the 90th player to ever reach 1,000 points, and he's done it under 1,000 games. You know, you want that generational player that makes a difference. And you, the Bulls fans, we had D. Rose, and we thought that that was going to be this long marriage. And look how quickly that evaporated. Chris Bryant on the north side. Look, he may be moved this offseason. Patrick Kane has been here 13 seasons. This sport was dead in this town when he got here. Dead. He has revived it. Kids now play the sport because of it. That United Center might be built because of Michael Jordan. Patrick Kane is paying the rent, and he's been doing it for 13 years, and he'll go down as the greatest Blackhawk player, certainly of this generation.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll go back to the NFL weekend next. Does Jimmy G deserve a lot of credit for the 49ers' victory? A little bit of credit? We'll discuss on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So Jimmy G completes all of six passes yesterday. Six. Kyle Shanahan said after the game, "Hey, man, we were running the ball. It was working. Why would I go away from that?" Pat asked, would Matt Nagy be that willing to do something like that? I couldn't answer it. I don't know if he would or he wouldn't. I would hope that he would. If something works, just keep doing it. But how much credit should he get for the 49ers' win yesterday?
Jimmy Garoppolo? He should get as much credit as a starting quarterback who threw the ball eight times, handed it off to Mostert, and orchestrated a convincing 37-20 victory over the Packers. Yeah, I mean, look, Jimmy's still a young quarterback. He's still growing in this league. I think his arrow is pointing up. I don't think he's obviously ever going to be considered in the Patrick Mahomes category, but I think he's going to be certainly more than a game manager. I think that's kind of what he's been asked to do the last couple of weeks. But would you be stunned if he threw the ball 15 to 18 times in the Super Bowl?
No,
I wouldn't either.
Now, if you said that at halftime, they're down 17 to nothing, and they've run for 22 yards. Yeah, I'd be shocked if they didn't, you know, make a change and go, hey, we've got to open things up a little more. Let's take some shots down the field, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, no. What about this?
Like, if you're running the football
down the Packers' throat, and I mean gashing them, and you are an exceptional play caller, and you've got some things up your sleeve that you want to hold on to for the Super Bowl. I mean, George Kittle caught one ball yesterday. He's their best player.
Right.
He made one catch. You don't think Kyle Shanahan had a few more plays up his sleeve if he wanted to?
No doubt. That's what I'm saying. He's not Woody Hayes.
They took the Packers' manhood away, and they knew they could run down their throat. If you can do that and not expose your playbook and hold on to a few more plays for the Super Bowl, go at it.
Well, let me ask you guys this question. The Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry, who the last nine games of the season has just been the beast among beasts, right?
Right.
If they shut down the 49ers running game like they did the Titans, do you believe that Jimmy Garoppolo can win a game with his arm?
How many does he have to score?
Well, the Chiefs average 33 points a game with Patrick Mahomes starting quarterback. So you've got to score more than 33, let's assume.
Yeah, I'm not convinced he can do that.
Oh, he went to New Orleans.
He did.
And put up in the 40s, right?
He did.
Yeah, that to me was... now look, I don't think that he has the weapons that Mahomes has on the edges. I think the only advantage, and it's a slight one, I would take Kittle over Kelsey, and that's just by a nose.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you take George Kittle over?
I think Kelsey's the best tight end in football.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. I'll take the younger. And he's a better blocker.
He's a better blocker.
He's a better blocker, and you need that in the 49ers system. So that's more of a value to you.
Yeah, he's absolutely a better blocker. If you said be in the passing game, yeah, I probably would take Travis Kelce. I think he's the best in the game.
I think they're the two best tight ends in football right now, so you can't really go wrong with either of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else would even be in the discussion. Like, there's it's not with Gronk retired. There's not like a bushel basket full of great tight ends. The kid in with the Chargers, Hunter Henry, really good, but he's not as good as those two guys. So I guess it depends what you want.
Zach Ertz is top three.
He's a good player.
I think it's those three. It's Kittle, like it's Ertz, and if the
Bears did you guys mention Kelce. Shaheen? Did you mention Shaheen?
We mentioned Trey Burton.
Okay.
I wonder if he'll be back. They only save $1 million if they cut him, so you really don't gain a lot there. If I was the Bears and I could drop either one in, well, Kittle's younger, but if we forget age and we just go to play next season, I'd probably take Travis Kelce. But if you said for the next 5 years, yeah, I'd take George Kittle. He's amazing.
To me, this Super Bowl, and again, we're going to have 2 weeks to break this down, is going to be how that Kansas City offensive line handles the 49ers.
Front seven. The front seven's amazing.
They sacked Rodgers 3 times. They forced 3 fumbles yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If they can keep Mahomes in the pocket a little bit and not let him get out on the edges, I don't know. I certainly give him a puncher's chance. Don't you?
Absolutely. I give him more than a puncher's chance. Absolutely.
I guess the thing that frightens me most is Kansas City hasn't played a clean game yet, and they've blown out both teams. You know what I mean? They have not played a clean game at all.
They
started yesterday. They looked like they were shooting themselves in the foot left and right.
It's amazing.
I mean, penalties and just inexcusable stuff. And I'm going, wow. And sure enough, they're down 10 twice. And at the end, it's blowout city.
Last week when they were 24 in the hole in the second quarter and everyone's feeling like, wow, what an upset. They have 28 points consecutive at the half? I mean, scored 7 consecutive possessions? That's why I said to you earlier in the show, how Patrick Mahomes, I don't care who people had short of Tom Brady, how did guys not go, this is a one-player draft, there's a generational guy? Because usually if it's Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, like the rare quarterback that comes along goes number one, and it's not close. And yet he's still sitting on the board at 10 for them to trade up.
Well,
to
nobody, everybody missed it.
Who traded? That's what I'm amazed by. How do you miss on that talent? Dad is a former major league player.
How do you miss on Deshaun Watson, who was on national television almost every week?
And I think he's obviously an excellent player. I think Mahomes is at an entirely different level.
I would agree with that. But you missed out on both.
You did. No question about it. No question about it. You missed on both. There were 3 quarterbacks that were going to go in the top 10 or 12. And you got the one guy who's played terrible.
And your plan to bring an offensive mind in for the new quarterback, you waited a year.
Right.
And you kept him under John Fox and Dow Loggins and then changed the system. You didn't have that mind to help you pick that player and be part of the evaluation process.
It's amazing. You know,
it's really not when you look at the history of the Bears. I mean, it's a flawed approach, right? I mean, I can point to several flawed approaches that they've made over the years. Like that's if there's anything that's consistent, they're consistently flawed in their game plan.
So Kansas City acquired pick 10 to get Patrick Mahomes from Buffalo, who did not have Josh Allen yet. Like, they didn't have their young quarterback and go, oh, we've already committed to this guy, we're in. They didn't have him. They got him the next year. How did they leave him on the board? You said about the Bengals, I get Carolina, they had Cam Newton. The Chargers had at that point a 36-year-old Patrick or 36-year-old Philip Rivers. How did they not go, hey man, we can get this.
How would anybody, first of all, it doesn't matter who any of these teams are in the top 10, what quarterback they had, and where he was in his career. If they knew now, knew then what they know now, right, they would all have selected him.
100%. They would, he would,
they would have
probably
Philip Rivers or Andy Dalton or whoever would have been shown the door within a year.
One, without a doubt. Cleveland would have said, we're taking him at
yes.
100%.
So everybody missed.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. I wonder what the Bears would have done if Patrick Mahomes had gone one. What happens then at two? Does San Francisco end up still making that deal with Chicago? And they're like, well, we got lucky, and that guy's Mahomes. I wonder how all things would have changed if that had happened. Curious. 312-332-3776. Got to grab a quick timeout. We've got more calls to get to. They want to talk football here, and we'll get to more of it on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN.
Cap, cap, cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Chris, you stepped up your playlist game.
That's Fitty. Used to be my neighbor in Farmington, Connecticut.
What?
Yeah, he lived...
Hold on a minute. Okay, we've been pretty close.
Yeah.
I've known
and
you
I
since...
say neighbor. We lived in the same town. We didn't... Oh. He bought Tyson's old house.
Okay. Because we've been pretty close. We worked together at TV for 12 years. We've done radio for a number of years. We've socialized with our wives. And if you were next door neighbors with Fitty and I had just now found that, I'd be like...
Yeah, no. He lived in Farmington, Connecticut, as did I. I lived a little down the way.
Almost like if I said, oh, yeah, I was neighbors with Michael Jordan. He lived in the northern suburbs, so do I.
Yeah, but it was very close, but it was...
Did
but it
ever,
was like different worlds.
No,
I did not. Okay. Did not.
All right. 312-332.
He invited me over when he wrote that song.
3776. Rich is in Logan Square. Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. As far as Buffalo trading that number 10 pick to Kansas City, yeah, I'm upset about it. I realized what was going on. I mean, I guess not as upset as Chicago is over the botch, but... The reason they did that is they had a GM in Doug Whaley who was still going to be around for a couple of months because they had a new head coach and they hadn't had a unified front with a new GM and a new coach yet. So they ended up trading that first for another first, a third, and a future first. Mm-hmm. But they did turn that first round pick into Tre'Davious White and then went on to get their quarterback from there. But the reason that they didn't is that they didn't want to leave the mark of an old GM on the way out the door drafting a new quarterback.
Yeah, all I'm saying to you is that when there's a generational talent, and that was the way the scouting report that Matt Nagy handed to Andy Reid, don't miss this guy. Generational talent. Not like, yeah, it's a good prospect. Generational. Now the crawl on ESPN saying, is he the greatest quarterback of all time? Now it says, is Patrick Mahomes the MVP in all of sports, not just football? And my point
is he the greatest person on the planet that's coming up next?
Right. And teams.
Brady went in the sixth round. I mean, you're not talking about that.
No. Again, the scouting report on Brady was not generational talent. It was a lot of people were like, nah, he's slow. He doesn't have a big arm. Like, he developed and became this great player. Patrick Mahomes, according to Matt Nagy, in the draft, generational. Don't miss him. Hall of Fame potential here.
But there were skeptics at Texas Tech. There was some that thought that he wasn't going up against upper echelon opponents.
Right. And that the system wouldn't play in the NFL.
Right.
Because his mechanics, they say, aren't the best. Footwork,
and now,
arm angle, and now that's what they rave about.
Right, exactly.
boy, you see, he throws sidearm and he's able to get, like, really? 312-332-3776, Mike's in Hoffman Estates. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Cap? First of all, just a little off topic, but anyone that argues that, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't already one of the best quarterbacks ever, just watching him play yesterday should say it all. I mean, he literally can do it all. He's probably the only player that I will say, other than Aaron Rodgers, that does throws that no one else in the league can do. He's right there at the top, and he's only 25 years old. And to add on that, I think he's going to get his first Super Bowl in a couple weeks. But what my main point was I think there's really only two main options when you're building a team that you're trying to make Super Bowl runs with. And that's either you grab a generational QB, you find them, and you have a solid D, or you have a phenomenal defense and an average QB. And I think that's the exact matchup that we're going to get in a couple weeks. And I guess we'll see which one will work better. But, I mean, I looked at the last 20 QBs in the Super Bowl winning teams. And, I mean, to me, that's really your only two options. Depending on what you think about, like, Eli Manning and Joe Flacco and Nick Foles, obviously don't meet that criteria. But those teams had some great defenses.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. Appreciate your thoughts. 312-332-3776. Eddie on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Is it you guys were talking about before? I think the tight end position is the key in the NFL nowadays. You look at Gronkowski, we're talking Kelce, we're talking the guy in the 49ers. When you have a great tight end, that opens, they double team them, that opens up one-on-one on receivers. That's what the Bears need. You need a stud tight end in the NFL now because it opens up all. He's a big target, and it makes quarterbacks better. It just does, you know?
Yeah, and that shows you how far away the Bears are at that position. Adam Shaheen, awful. Don't have any idea if Trey Burton's going to play. Bronecker, they'll probably let go to get $1.5 million in cap space. I mean, they got nothing there.
When Kansas City was down yesterday early on in that ball game against Tennessee, and it's 4th and 2, and they're going for it, who does Patrick Mahomes go to? He goes to Travis Kelce.
No doubt.
Kelce goes 3 yards, finds a little soft spot in the zone, makes the catch, lays down, move the chains. You need to have that security blanket for your quarterback. Both of the teams that are going to be at Super Bowl 54 have that, even though they weren't utilized that much. Kelce only had 3 grabs yesterday, and George Kittle only had 1. So
crazy.
But they bring so much to the table.
Somebody just tweeted at me, Anthony Schrader, who's a P1, listens all the time. He sent it to you as well. From 4/28/17, he clipped the article, USA Today, Tom Pelissero, who's a great writer, very connected. Chiefs go for broke at quarterback by drafting boom or bust Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he's booming.
He's booming in a big, big way. 312-332-3776. So I had an interesting Saturday.
Okay.
I got up. My wife and I took a strength training class at the place that I lived at. I brought her downtown. We did a strength class.
Oh, nice.
We went over and got
a strength class.
Couple strength class. It was great. Then we went, got breakfast over at Yoke. And then I said, hey.
You got yoked, and then you went and got yoked.
Okay. Very good. And then I said, Mindy, let's go get tattoos.
And really? Just throw that out at breakfast?
We had talked about it before. I'd wanted one for a long time. And she goes, all right, I'm in. So we called a couple places down here, couldn't get in. They're booked, 4 or 5 hour wait. And I did a Yelp search at breakfast and found this place. 5 stars, blah, blah, blah. And I called a buddy of mine.
No wait.
I called a buddy of mine. He's like, dude, all the Bears players go to this place. You should go there. It's not far from our house. So we ended up going to Maximum Tattoo on Milwaukee and Deerfield Road.
Okay.
And awesome. I had this awesome woman, Beth. I got mine, and then Mindy got hers, and it was awesome.
And for those that have not seen it on Instagram, what does it say on your right bicep, right?
Yeah, like right shoulder.
Right shoulder.
Right here.
What does it say?
Live life all in, and it has a little red heart.
And what did Mindy get?
She got a sunflower with a frog in the middle of the sunflower because she loves frogs. We got like 100 different, like, thermometer with a frog on it, and this with all over our property. Yeah, She loves frogs.
Did you know this was what you were going to get as you went in for the tattoo?
So I had always wanted just all in. That's it. It's on my note cards, all in. That's all I wanted. And she said, can I make a suggestion here? Can you let me have a little artistic creativity to this, the lady, Beth? And I said, absolutely, 100%. So she brought it back and she had it arced. And it said, live all in. And then she goes, nah. And she came back and said, it says, live life all in. And I'm like, I like how that looks, but I want some color in there. She's like, I think you ought to just go with black. And I said, how about putting a red heart in there? So she did. It was really cool.
Now, this is coming from the guy who wouldn't go to his annual physical because you're afraid of needles and you hate going to the dentist.
I've been good. I've gone physicals year after year.
All right. So how did you handle the needle during the tattoo experience?
It's not like that. Like, she likened it to, imagine having a sunburn and somebody's scratching you with a sharp pencil. That's it. It's not like they stick needles in you and start injecting you.
Do they numb the area before they start?
No.
I can't gloss over the fact that you let some lady who doesn't know you have a say in what you put in your body. Like, imagine if Nike came up with Just Do It, and then they went and met with this lady, and she's like, I think we should add sports. Just do it, sports.
No, and then I showed it to my wife.
It's a little odd to me that some strange lady's coming up with what you tattoo.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.